And joining me now in the KRVS studios is Jennifer Guidry from the Center for Louisiana Studies, here to talk about their backyard series. And it's wonderfully seasonally time for dyeing eggs and pocking eggs.
Yes.
And usually, Jennifer, I try to say the title of the workshop in French as well, but this one looks like a really complex.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's natural egg dyeing and paquet contest.
Yes.
And it's that's obviously a traditional activity during Easter around here. People dyed eggs. They didn't go out and buy the little grocery store dyes.
Yeah.
They had to make do. And so this is really interesting because, you know, with the whole interest in the natural foods movement and people interested in how our grandparents did things and what can we do with the land and how can we create things at our own home, this is perfect for
that. Yeah, absolutely. It's a way to, like, really utilize your food all the way because you can use the onion skins and things like that to make your the color, the dye, and that you use for dyeing eggs. So it's a nice way to, you know, take the refuse from your food and then utilize it one more way before it goes into the compost or wherever else it ends up. And it's so much fun. This is a really wonderful hands-on workshop. We've done it once before and we had really low attendance, so we brought it back again to see if we can get a large crowd out there tomorrow night and have a lot of fun with just different kinds. Everybody, you know, it's one of those processes that is so unpredictable. You never know how it's going to end up until you pull the egg out of the water or unwrap it from the fabric and stuff like that. And it's so neat to see all the different patterns using the same basic materials.
And it makes such surprising colors. And you feel really proud to say, I did that naturally.
Yeah.
With natural either, you know, food, like you mentioned, or out of old cloth stuffs that we have around. Everyone's got scraps of material around. So let's talk about how the workshop's going to be set up. It's going to be tomorrow evening at Vermilionville. Yeah. Where is it going to be set up at Vermilionville?
We'll be in the Performance Center. We'll have it kind of set up in a workshop type style of arrangement with the tables and chairs. And there will be at the front of the stage will be a large table set up with the hot plates and everything so that the different pots will have on each burner. And there's going to be four different colors. And there's also going to be the egg wrapping, which you can do. And there will be fabric scraps for that. I had gotten a little gung-ho and I found some old silk ties at a garage sale and picked them up, you know, for like a quarter a piece because all of the dyes will transfer over onto your egg. And so they'll, you know, an ugly tie can make a really beautiful egg. So,
well, and I guess silk be fun. Because that took dyes so clearly. You could get such rich colors on silk.
Yep, silk and wool. Basically, the fabrics that you should dry clean are the ones that have easily transferable dyes.
Or rayon. I guess rayon.
Perhaps, yeah. I was always just told silk and wool. And rayon's kind of a new, you know, synthetic.
It's been around since the 20s.
All right. Well, it's not new.
My grandmother had lots of rayon dresses. Yeah. So those scraps of material, and don't raid your grandfather's beautiful vintage ties, but anything else you might have, or old clothes of your own, you know, that you're about to throw
away. That sweater
you
accidentally shrunk, you know, you know, if you happen to go by a Goodwill or Salvation Army and see a few, you can pick them up and then take them home and just stitch. You just stitch the fabric around the egg and put it in the boiling water. And the longer it sits, the more rich the colors will be. We have three women joining us tomorrow night. We have Connie Bustani, who is an artisan here in town. She's very active with the ACA's PACE program and a few other organizations. And then we also have two of Vermilionville's artisans, Jocelyn Trahan and Brenda Lalonde, who are currently doing this type of demonstration on a weekly basis at Vermilionville. But we've got them joining us tomorrow night to kind of go through their the spectrum of what they do with the natural dyes. And then Connie's going to supplement with some of the other stuff that she does. It's a little different.
Yeah, they do it on the Fridays in March, but it's hard for some people who work to get there during the day. That's like from 10 to 4. So anyone who's working during the day, this is a great opportunity to have your own workshop at Vermilionville.
Or if you just can't get the kids out there on a Friday afternoon, you'll have other commitments or you're trying to, you know, get somewhere. You can always join us tomorrow night. You know, as always, there will be food available. So it's a really great evening. Yeah, eggs. And, you know, we'll have all the supplies, the basic supplies there. If you have something special, like some special fabrics that you want to try out or things like that, or flowers, because you can always press the flowers against the egg before you wrap them, and that helps create a different kind of design. So if you have anything like very special or different that you want to try out, we encourage you to bring it. But we'll have all your basic supplies there, and we'll have you set up to dye at least one egg, hopefully two, depending on how many people show up. And it's going to be – it's just so – it's so much fun. I mean, I told my son about it, and he's 8, and he remembered the first one we did, and he's like, I loved that one. I can't wait. He's so excited.
So great project for kids.
Yes.
You know, for teachers to encourage their students or families to bring their children out and have a different kind of Easter, one that's maybe a little bit more traditional and using what's around us to dye.
Not smelling of vinegar and those little messy dyes with the little palettes and everything.
That never make the bright colors, you know. They never turn out quite as rich as you'd like them to.
The reds always become pink.
Yes. If you are tuning in, my guest, Jennifer Guidry, is talking about a workshop at Vermilionville tomorrow. It's a part of their backyard series. It's natural egg dyeing and pocket contest. So after the dyeing, it sounds like there's going to be some pocking.
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
Well, it's a traditional game that was played at Easter. And basically, after you would dye your eggs, you would then try to secure your position as the person with the strongest egg. And there's a lot of technique to it, you know, everything from how you dye your, how you boil your eggs. Like you have to get them so that they like put a towel in the bottom of the pot and stand them up on one point, because that allows an air bubble. And so, you know, that's that point, you know, you keep in your hand and it's, you know, protected. It's the most vulnerable spot. It's protected. But, there, you know, some people say that it doesn't matter. You can boil them any which way. And it doesn't matter. Some people use certain kinds of eggs. I've heard family stories where, you know, some uncle or somebody had a very convincing wooden egg that somehow he prevailed year after year.
It looked like it just a dyed
egg. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he had the same egg year after year and kept winning until they
wouldn't
finally
have wanted to have been him when they discovered that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like that's something people can bring to share as well, their own family stories about pocking eggs on Easter, and which, of course, comes from the name for Easter, which is pock. And that would be interesting to see what their little tricks are, although people might not want to give them away.
Well, there's some that, you know, they keep very close to the chest, as I've discovered. I've asked a lot about it, and people don't want to talk sometimes. They'll tell you everybody else's tricks.
But not theirs. Well, if you feel like sharing or you hope to glean some tricks for pocking, it sounds like this will be a great part of the workshop for you as well. And then I guess for all those pocked eggs, you could bring those home and make egg salad.
Yeah. You know, you can do whatever you want to do with that boiled egg after you've cracked it. That beautiful dyed egg.
That's right.
We'll have other eggs available as well, just in case you don't want to mess up your freshly dyed egg.
Do you need to bring your own eggs? A dozen eggs? No, you'll have all the eggs.
We'll have
there.
A couple dozen eggs there so that everybody will have a chance to dye them and then pock with either that egg or, you know, a regular hard-boiled egg.
Mm-hmm. And then you can go home and try all those techniques, the dyeing techniques and the pocking techniques.
Absolutely. Got to get boned up for Easter. It's just around the corner.
That's right. Start practicing now and eating a lot of egg salad sandwiches. So you mentioned that there will be three people working for the workshop. Mm-hmm. And are they all from Vermilionville?
No, Connie is not a member of the Vermilionville staff, but she is an artist locally and she does lots of activities. This is just one of the many demonstrations that she does through the ACA. Mm-hmm. And they're one of their arts programs. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people really enjoying this topic, and it makes everyone happy. Spring is coming, and Easter time has so many great customs. And,
yeah.
Again, if you do have time during the week, Vermilionville is offering this every Friday from 10 until 4, I think, during the day. Mm-hmm. And you can just go and observe these techniques, and they're all set up in the village. But tomorrow evening at Vermilionville, this is a part of the Backyard series. You can go. It's a couple hours long.
Yeah, but we get, the doors open at 6, and you can come in and you can get your dinner if you want, and, you know, visit and get settled and everything, and then we'll start the workshop around 6:30. And it is a little different from what Vermilionville offers on Fridays because it's very hands-on. And then there's, of course, a little contest afterwards.
So the natural dyeing includes using the materials, grabs of materials, and also certain vegetable matter as well.
Right. Vegetable dyes or vegetable-derived dyes, as well as the different methods of creating patterns and transferring dyes from fabric.
All right. Well, this will be a different creative sort of Easter if you take this workshop and fill your basket full of very unusual, naturally dyed eggs. This is the Backyard Series. It is sponsored by the Center for Louisiana Studies here at UL Lafayette. And I know that you have something every month. Mm-hmm. And what's coming up in the next month, April?
Next month is the Civil War in Acadiana, and it's timed, you know, with the sesquicentennial of the Civil War, and which is being celebrated throughout the country. We chose April for it because that's when the largest action Louisiana really experienced was, or is particularly in the Acadiana area. So we thought it was timed really nicely in April. And then in May, we're going to look at baseball from the Evangeline League to the majors. And we're hoping to have some very special guests join us in May. So put that one on your calendars. And then in June, it's called The Mini Guitars of Cajun and Creole Music. We've done topics in the past where we take an instrument, the fiddle, the accordion, the steel guitar, and looked at just that for the evening. And those have been really, really fun. And there's some – so we wanted to focus on the guitar and how – its role changes from genre to genre and type of song and things like that. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun as well.
It is. Sometimes we think of the others as more particularly of this area. The guitar is sort of ubiquitous and there, and you're bringing it out into the light.
Well, I mean, it plays such a pivotal role in music, you know, whatever music you're playing. If there's a guitar in there, there's a distinct purpose for it being there. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of want to parse out all those different ways that it makes a difference in the songs.
Mm. And again, those are all part of the Backyard Series. Mm-hmm. I know the Center for Louisiana Studies has a lot going on as well. In addition to the Backyard Series, what are some of the things that you're offering?
Oh, well, later this week, we have a free lecture that we're co-sponsoring with the Department of History and Geography, and that is titled Listening to Louisiana Women.
I think Alicia Long is coming.
Yes, Alicia Long is the speaker. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the subtitle.
It's an oral history. We had
Dr. Kaiser
here earlier or last week talking about her project, I think interviewing over 75 women in Louisiana with her students.
She started her oral history project in 2009, and I think to date they've interviewed right at 80 women. And so it's a very interesting project. And she'll be talking more about that March 14th, which is Thursday, at the Alumni Center at 6:30 in the evening.
I'll be announcing that later on, I think.
Pretty sure. Mm-hmm. And both, like just like the Backyard Series, this is also a free event. And it's a part of Women's History Month programming, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think they have 4 more lectures planned. It's a really, really nice series, and she was quite excited about it. But you do have a website or Facebook presence, so if people want to know what's happening through the center, they can look that up.
Absolutely. The Center for Louisiana Studies has a Facebook page, as does the CSET, and then we also actually have another page dedicated to our Dance Halls project, Dance Halls of South Louisiana, and my co-worker just went out to Bork's Club out in the Arneville area,
Lewisburg.
Lewisburg. And he had some really interesting stories about going inside that building. Mm-hmm. So we're on Facebook. We can follow us on Twitter at CCETULL. We're also, available in our offices, and we love it when people come to visit us and check out the archives and tell us about what their research interests are or their questions about their cultural background and their traditions and things that they remembered but not very well, and trying to help them track it down and really, fill out those memories and keep them alive.
Right. And you all are in Dupre Library on the UL campus. Yep. What floor are you on?
We're on the third floor. We're back in the corner with the Louisiana Room.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the press is up there, too, so yeah. You can, I guess, see all of the titles up there as
well. All of the books are out on display. You can flip through them and go through the catalog, and you can actually purchase books in our office. We encourage people to come in and just check out the books and everything.
It's one of the best kept secrets of a bookstore around here. Wonderful Louisiana title, so much content, great content, and such an amazing resource, both the press and the Center for Louisiana Studies, which is the umbrella for the press and CSET.
And it's our 40th year this year. It's our 40th anniversary.
Of the Center for Louisiana Studies. Well, congratulations.
Yep. So we're going to have some events in the fall to celebrate our 40th anniversary. So keep yours peeled for that. We'll have more information coming soon.
Well, we'll look forward to all of those events. Again, my guest, Jennifer Ritter-Guidry with the Center for Louisiana Studies and the Center for Cultural and Ecotourism, talking about the Backyard Series. Their next workshop is tomorrow evening. It's called Natural Egg Dyeing and Poke Contest. All are invited. As always, it's free and open
absolutely.
To everyone. And there's a supper available through Vermilionville, mm-hmm. or you can wait and eat eggs when you get home.
Take all the
Yes. Thank you so much, Jennifer. We appreciate it.
Thank you.